Committee reports, local station board's outreach committee. Reza, would you like to report on that?
Yes. Outreach committee, we showed a movie for propaganda, and about 50, 60 people showed up, and we are planning to go to Echo Park Film Center. We reserved that, you know, location for another, you know, movie. Also, outreach committee are going to have a meeting 25th of May, 7:30 at this station.
Thank you, Reza. We have a GM search committee report. Who would like to report on that? Jim?
We now have a chair who is on leave. So
who's the chair?
Ali.
Oh, Ali, I'm sorry, go ahead, Ali.
So the GM search committee met, and we're finalizing the ads. We hope to place them as widely and as far as possible to cast as wide a net as we can for GM candidates. Once the ads are in place, we'll also start running cards on the air and start to take applications from anyone who wants to apply for the position.
Do you know when that might occur?
We have a meeting tomorrow night, so I'm hoping that tomorrow night we can finalize the timeline for the items I just described.
Thank you, Ali.
What, can I ask, how long are you going to advertise? Is there a defined time period?
Usually we keep the job posting up until the position is filled.
So you're just waiting for the right app?
No. There's a specific timeline and procedure and structure that it takes. I can sketch it out and send it to the board if you want.
I was just, you know, in 3 months, 2 months.
Yeah, if you can do that and send it out to the board,
okay.
That would be helpful.
Yeah. Okay.
Roberta?
Is there a possibility of using an executive recruiter with a background in media?
An executive recruiter, like hiring a headhunter,
a search firm. Yeah.
Well, there's a number of job sites that we're looking at that seem very appropriate for broadcast professionals from many different areas.
Okay. What's the gist of the ad?
We have several ads that basically, well, it's, I can't just recite it off the top of my head.
Well, yeah. I mean,
you're gonna give the timeline.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So,
just as the ad is KPFK, considered a public figure, keeping the full time.
Okay.
No qualifications.
Yeah, there's a whole. You can go once we post on the website, the entire list of qualifications.
And the pay range.
Pay range. Yeah.
The next, and I want to say that. Well, anyway, I want to say the pay range was like 60 to 80,000 or something like that.
That's right.
Okay.
At least that.
So, local station board governance committee. Did not meet, it did not achieve quorum this past Thursday. But we unofficially met without quorum.
How big the governance committee is?
I want to say there's like 6 or 7 people on governance, and we had 2 at the meeting on Thursday. So it didn't achieve quorum. But we unofficially, without quorum, did discuss the town hall motion that was put forth by Barbara and Roberta and decided to put that on the agenda. So that's on the back of the agenda, and that's the motion that we would like to present right now for
consideration.
Yes. Basically, it's to hold a town hall at a cost of no more than $500. And Roberta and Barbara would head up the organizing for that town hall. So, is there anyone opposed to passing this motion to allow Roberta and Barbara to organize this town hall?
No.
Hearing none, motion is passed.
Okay. So we want a little committee?
We have, at this point, we can take more public comments. We also have the last member's survey report up. But perhaps that would be okay to do after public comment.
Yes.
Let's go ahead and take public comment.
Okay, I listening to all this, I have many, many, many questions. So hopefully you guys can answer some of these after public comment. First of all, where can we, the regular listeners, find out about this big tent thing? Because you guys found out, I don't know how, I guess one of the celebrities came to you and told you that this letter was being sent out. I, as a listener sponsor, would like to know more about it. I mean,
Pacifica.org.
Pacifica.org, yeah. They have that.
Bill's letter of response as well.
But the letter and the big tent letter is on there too?
I don't know if big tent letter is on there, but Bill,
okay, so anyway, so that was one of them. And then, whatever happened to the Committee for Inclusion? Because I've been coming to these meetings and I never hear anything about the Committee for Inclusion. I don't remember who was named the committee member, chair, I should say. But nothing has happened as far as I know on this, for this committee. And I don't think that's a good thing because our nation is very diverse and we do need a lot of people from all communities represented on nationally and locally too. How many excused absences are allowed for LSB board members? Because some people tend to be here and they're still on the board, but they keep calling in excused absences, and I don't think that's fair to us as listeners to have people who are not here supposedly representing us. You know, if they have more than say five or six, they should be added if one of the alternates come in. So that's my comment. And and then the last question, and no offense, Marina, but who of the staff left that you came in? I don't know who you are.
Do we want to cover that?
Okay, yeah. We're not going to have cross talk.
Okay. So thank you.
Any other public comments?
Comment? Yeah, one of them.
Please, go ahead.
I want to make a comment about remote. Yes?
No.
What?
No.
Go ahead.
Participation. I think you have to be careful with that. The idea is to be here and for us to see who you are and for all of you to speak face to face. I belong to a union that's all Southern California. We meet once a month. And we have a location where everybody can come from, even San Diego, even Ventura, and people show up because that's why they're, excuse me, I don't know, I'm a little nervous, but anyway, they're on the board, they choose to be on the board, they need to show up. I think an exigent excuse is you broke your leg and you can't be there, right, something like that. But otherwise, I don't think distance should be a reason for not being here. My other comment, because I have to leave early and you haven't discussed the survey, is, maybe this is a preliminary report, I'm not sure, but to me it's pretty unprofessional. There's no date, there's no time, I don't know when people were called. It's just not professionally done. And I would like a lot more specific information on this.
What are you talking about? The survey?
No cross talk.
Right. As I said, I have to leave early, so I won't hear when you're going to discuss this. And maybe this is a preliminary report. Hopefully that's the case. And something more professional will be put out about the survey. Okay. I'd like to know who were the callers. Were the only LSB members? Was a call put out to all listeners who might be willing to participate? Who collated the information? I mean, there's just no background. There's no how did you arrive at your conclusions? All of that is not listed here. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, please, go ahead.
What years are the financial audits missing for the CPB Corporation for Public Broadcasting grants?
Okay, we're working on 2015, and we also need to do 2016 and then go on to 2017. So the immediate audit on hand is 2015, and that was discussed a little bit earlier.
Okay, and the other comment is I went to the Peace Center and there was no message saying to come here. I just called someone, so.
Yeah. It was posted on the website. It's been posted on the website.
Oh, I checked the meeting this morning. It still says Peace Center.
Mm-hmm. How did you know to come here?
I called it on someone.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I have a correction to make. I guess I first started attending ELSB meetings when Rico Ross was chairing that. So my history is a little longer than I thought it was. The other thing is, regarding people having excused absences, I think it is really shameful when one person is going to the California Democratic, whatever, in Sacramento, bringing her lap dog with her, and they're both getting excused absences. I assume that's what's happening. There's a point where if you're on the board, you got to be here and you got to participate. And again, it needs to be in a public forum, you know, where the public, the listener sponsors are invited to attend. And as far as the website, I too look. And you got old stuff, old websites popping up. What's new is very hard to find. It needs to somehow be right there at the top of my browser. And I realize that's a lot of work for somebody, but, you know, I realize it. I mean, it's kind of a heck of a job. I understand it may be there, but when I hit apfk.org, I get a bunch of other stuff, too. And, okay, so it's my problem. Okay.
Let's not have cross talk.
This is the type of problem that he experiences. It doesn't show up. You got a bunch of old stuff that's not in the background. And it needs to be totally transparent. You look, you know, there's nobody here. Why?
Any other public comments? Okay. I just wanted to respond to a couple of things, and certainly we will try to make sure that our postings are up to date and accurate. If you Google Big Tent Radio, you will get the information that you require. We have a number of committees that are not operational. We had at the beginning of the year conveners that have agreed to convene committees. I think that a couple of committees that we would like to get up and running that are not currently up and running are the Strategic Planning Committee and the Programming Oversight Committee. Those seem to be two big committees that are currently not operational. So the Committee for Inclusion, which was also mentioned, is another non-operational committee. So we have a number of committees that are not operational at this time, and certainly we would welcome leadership in forming those committees.
I'd like to volunteer to be the Strategic Planning Committee.
Okay. Mr. Kaiser, please feel free to convene the Strategic Planning Committee. Just let our secretary know so that they can post the dates. We need to give proper notice for that. Barbara, then Risa.
Yes, I would just like to clarify in terms of committee membership. At this point, with just a convener, if people are interested in coming and being on the committees, they just need to show up and have a continuity of attendance for three meetings. And then at that time, the chair will be voted. So the secretary will list when those dates are for these committees.
Right. If and when they're convened.
Okay. Well, how do people sign up if they don't know what date they should plan for?
Thank you.
Yeah, at this point, we have no one to convene the non-operational committees other than the strategic planning committee.
Contact me.
Which Mr. Kaiser will notify our secretary, Michael Adler, and he will post it so that you can go online to see when that date will be forthcoming. I'm sorry, there was one other person. Was it Risa?
Yeah, I would like to know what person chose this location under the name of Allah, under the name of Muhammad, all this propaganda machinery.
Mansoor chose it. That's the person. That's the answer to your question.
And does this mosque is, you know, donating money, you know, to the KPFK? No. What is the relation?
Okay,
stop it. I'm talking.
Okay, thank you, Raisa. As we said at the beginning of the meeting, this facility is accepting donations from us. They are not requiring any set amount of funds, but they're making the room available to us based on whatever donations we would like to provide for the use of the room.
So next time if there's going to be a meeting, I'm going to bring my banner, my slogan here, you know, to oppose all this, you know, propaganda machinery by this, you know.
Okay. Thank you, Raisa, for sharing.
Musk.
I have the last member survey report on the agenda. That will be next with Mr. Kaiser.
Okay, to address your points about this being non-professional, it certainly is. This was created. I had a sheet of talking points back in January when I thought I was going to be allocated about 5 minutes to talk about this. So I made up a list of talking points. Then I found out when I got the agenda the night before that I had no time allocated. So I sat there and I thought, well, I'll expand this into two pages, put in more thoughts, they're all mine, and try and get something to people to get an idea of what we acquired after you know, 3 weeks of some real effort. I want to thank again, about half the board showed up, manned the phones, and about twice that many volunteers got us what we got. And we actually talked to about 1,000 people, and about a third of them actually had a discussion with us where we could fill out one of the forms. So we have 344 forms. Right now they're in the possession of Alan Minsky. He gets to have them for the rest of this month to see what they have to import to him. Lydia had it for like 3 months before that. And if anybody else wants to read the survey, please contact me and I'll make them available to you. But this really touches on what's going to save us. We started the volunteer radio program back in the 40s and created subscription radio. And now so many other types of entities have adopted that, public television, you know, and radio, so that we're in hot competition for this sort of subscription niche. And this is somewhat eroding on us. Now, the funds from the Corporation of Public Broadcasting have disappeared currently because of our audits. Now, we may be able to get that back, but I'm not real optimistic in an era of Republican control that that's going to be a source of funding that's going to come back. So the funding that is actually working for us is these people that call up and have disposable dollars, but often do not have excess time because they're working their asses off. And most of our callers are drive time people. They're coming to and from work. So they look to us to flesh out areas of information that they don't have the time or effort or resources or even a clue to how to pursue. But they listen to us, and we've been working on various topics, as well as artistic things. I mean, it's a whole panorama of things we offer. But they buy it from us because they trust us. And this is what we've garnered over 70 years of making the effort that we have, is that we have this trust and credibility. And so we want to put out great products like that. And they pay us a whopping margin as a contribution, a charitable contribution, over what they could get this for elsewhere. So the only thing we get out of this survey, and what I would propose for an expanded survey, because we called about 20% of the phone numbers we have. There's a lot more that we can talk to. But the thing that we'll get is information. We will know what these supporters want to hear and when they're listening and when they want to hear it. And we need to cater that demographic, because that's the demographic that's sending us money. And we need to expand that and enhance that. And we're starting to get our premium act together, which is a real relief, because we need that credibility out there. Because all those years of trust that we've built up is being seriously eroded by not getting these premiums to them. So these are my thoughts, basically, of what I heard people say over the course of doing that. Who they supported, who they liked. They like our big strip commentators. And they like a lot of individual shows, and we need to capture that information. And I'm thinking on a new survey, which would not be paper at all. We have one of the people that was involved, one of the volunteers. Okay, we got lots of questions here. I'll pause in just a second. Give me a little bit more. But we have one of the volunteers computerize this. So what we can do now is we can fill out all of this on the computer, put it into a database, and then tabulate all the strength numbers to see how strongly people like given types of programming. And to tabulate positive and negative, just positive and negative about the presenter on the show, the host, like Ian or Amy or whatever. We can do this all computerized. We need headsets, we need computer setup, and we can run this in between fun drives. And again, the only reason to do that is to get an information so we can build a round table where we can all sit to evaluate the programming. Okay.
So we have 10 minutes set aside for questions and answers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to take Ali, Marlena, I have Jan, Fernando, and Lauren. And did I miss anyone? Okay. So that should give us about 2 minutes for each question and answer. If we can start out with Ali.
Two questions. So on page 2, you mentioned some programs that first name. You have Jimmy and Jim. Mm-hmm. Are you just one Jimmy Dore? Who's the other one? Who's Jim? And then I was wondering, did you do any surveying in Spanish? Did you have a Spanish speaker call? Anyone? No.
If it was a Spanish speaker, we noted on the paper Spanish. So if we go back through those, we could have Spanish speakers.
Okay. And by the way, thank you for going through all this. I know it's a lot of work.
Well, you're welcome. But let's get us where we're bound, and that will be worthwhile.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Marlena?
I have a question. Who came up with the language buy and customers?
What do you mean? Where's that?
You have that in the third paragraph. You have the word buy. In the fourth step paragraph, you have customers.
Yeah. What about it?
That's not how we refer to our listeners.
It is how I refer to them. Yeah, you must have missed it.
If this is the message that people, that listeners are getting, then we're sending the wrong message.
Listeners are not getting this.
This is not the language that we need to be using.
Okay, well, could you rewrite it for me? Honestly, I appreciate your feedback. I'll send you the Word document for the email. But like I said, also 2 days ago, I was notified that I was going to be doing this. But unfortunately, Grace told me, so I revised what I wrote originally. I changed about a third of it. So I know it's unprofessional. It's been in a constricted time period.
What would you change it to?
Subscribers.
We should change the language on number one.
No, but will we change it from what to what?
These are gifts that are being offered for listener support.
Right.
They're not buying anything.
Yeah, they are.
You don't want to use that language on the air.
Okay. Well, let's not.
No, we don't need to use it on the air. The thing is, that's their mindset. Your mindset is different. It's not a public document.
Jan, you're next. I just
wanted to mention that the whole issue of program analysis and did this go all the way down there, Anessa?
We're better ones. Does everybody have one of these?
I just wanted to mention that the whole issue of program evaluation is a very tricky one, and we need to just be careful how we do it. I think it's important that we do have, that obviously we are concerned about programs and how people like them and so forth. But we also have to realize that the LSB's job is not evaluating programs.
Whose job is it, Janet?
Whose job is it? It's the general managers and program directors.
I think it's insufficient people to do that task, and that adds to them too much work, and we need a broader evaluation of programming that we all agree on.
I said it's a tricky thing. I think it's important that, you know, we all sit around doing it and evaluating these things, and I think the survey is really important, and I just want to caution ourselves into the next steps of it to be thoughtful about what our structure is and how we do it.
Fernando? I'm sorry, where did you want to go on the staff?
Yes, can I add one more thing about the process of the survey, because I did participate in it, and that is that we were given sheets of names to call, and we went down the sheet, so we were not avoiding Spanish speakers or anybody, or seeking anybody out. We were just going down lists of names.
Occasionally we have Spanish speakers on the phone, so they would talk in Spanish, but it's very rare.
Yeah, I mean, I spoke to somebody in Spanish, and a lot of the people who spoke Spanish also spoke English.
Yeah.
Matt?
Okay. Next on the stack, Fernando?
Yeah. My understanding is that the LSB and the PNB are not allowed to interfere in the design execution of programming, but they're in charge of developing policy. Now, when we're talking about policy, we're talking about how what we do has any relationship with the Pacific Commission, not in 1940s or 50s, but what Pacific Commission means today in 2017. And also, when we are talking about policy, we're also talking about the fact that the middle class does not constitute the vast majority of the people, or the people who live in the area where we play our signal. In fact, they are a minority. Why we have so much emphasis on conducting a survey, opinion poll on the audience that we know is a small percentage of the middle class that give us money, that supports us, and we stay away from the overwhelming majority of the population. It really stands to reason we need to take a second visit to that, reflect on what we're doing and where we come. Clearly, we're being short-sighted. The second point I want to make here is that when we're talking about why we're doing this at this very moment, and this happens to be the moment in which the big tent radio and other alternative options and plans are being put together in order to conduct the business that we have failed to do, to have relevant programming to all the people that live in our area. And this is a golden opportunity for us to organize some live town hall meetings where we review, we examine, we take a second look at how we are relevant to the people who live in that signal area and how we're relevant and follow out the Pacific Commission. And by doing so, by doing a good job, you know, they can have big tents, radio projects, as many as they want. As long as we're doing a good job, we're going to have a solid response from our community, from our listeners, and we'll be able to challenge anybody who's presenting a challenge to us. My question to the survey organizers, why most people in our single area was left out?
Steven, do you want to respond to that?
I participated in the survey and I found it to be very enlightening. This was a particular survey done of lapsed members. We absolutely should do a lot more market research to find out what our potential audience, not just our members, but our potential audience would like to hear and are interested in, so we can fashion our programming so it has the broadest appeal it can possibly have. So there's no exclusion here. A survey could certainly be done of current members also. A survey could be done of In fact, there's an effort to do an online survey that we could put on different surveys that could be answered online, and one could be a survey of the general public, people interested in and know about the radio. So it's just more information that can be used to improve our programming so that we have more listeners and members and more financial support.
Thank you.
Okay, on the stack I have Lawrence and then Roberta.
Yeah, so I think this is a good start. But I don't know in what collaboration that you work with the community advisory board, if we have one. I know we have a head, but we don't have a board. So I think that's something that we should look at, because I'm not so much concerned in research and marketing, but I am in a needs assessment that needs to be done. A community needs assessment that the CPB will look favorably upon and would possibly start to give us CPB money again. So a community needs assessment needs to be done, which serves as a marketing tool as well. And it also expands the scope of the survey. So I would hope, and I know this is labor intensive too. I know it must have been, you know, a lot of work to be calling people. The electronic survey, I think, would bear more fruit. But in regards to the community needs assessment, I know me, Julie Chavez, and a few other people back in the day when KPFK did receive almost $289,000 in the CPD, because it was found to be a minority foundation. It was found to be a minority station that was representing minorities. Whatever that is. That is not happening now. So I applaud Steve Kaiser on his effort. I think he needs help.
And
I think he needs to collaborate with whoever is part of this CAB. One person does not make the community advisory board. It has to be a structured community advisory board. This way they could come up with scientific results that would inform our signal area and would inform our listeners as to, you know, that they're not customers, that they're really our listeners. And I think that's...
We're not informing you.
No.
Well, you've had your 2 minutes.
Let me just finish. So, it's a slide, listeners. I prefer listeners because that's the way we address them.
Well, you, why do this survey? Why have a survey? Any thoughts here? I mean, why go to the trouble of doing this? I mean, I got other lame, useless things to do in my time that I enjoy more than doing this. So why do it? Well, that's right, but you don't get people to take it. When you call them up and you ask them, can you give me a minute to run 7 quick questions by you, then we develop this audience. And the only reason we're calling this particular demographic is that they have sent money to us before. We want to reactivate that stream. We want to appeal and expand that market. And that's the only reason to do this. Can anybody else think of another reason to do a survey, Grace?
Thank you, Steve, and thank you for your input, Lawrence, on making sure that the community really needs to be engaged and involved in that. I appreciate that. Roberta, you're next on the staff.
Yeah, I keep on coming back to the fact that we are a radio station that plays terrestrially and on the internet and other places. We haven't been part of the Nielsen world for years. We have lost CPB funding because our own specific listenership was low. There are people I know who have loved KPFK for decades and still honorably give a certain amount each year, but they don't really listen anymore. They do it out of love and loyalty. Why can't we when the next budget cycle comes up, we start planning in May and June, to require that we budget a line item for a subscription to Nielsen, and accompanied with what the national thing did for the program director's job to increase listenership and all these other things, give that individual a tool which will show if we start making a dent, not just getting back lapsed listeners or getting additional products sold to current listeners, people who haven't heard us in a long time or have maybe are going to KCRW or Sirius or something to get news and current events, to know we exist and want to come here. You know, they aren't in our database now. We got to find a way to know if we're reaching any other new people. I don't see that we have the tools to do that.
Yeah, thank you, Roberta. I don't know that I want to jump in with this comment.
Okay.
But you're right. The demographic that we reach out to very well is an aging demographic that cannot sustain us. So we need to bring in new listenership, definitely. Go ahead, Grace.
You know, picking up on what Roberta said, I didn't think of this recently. But I think maybe we want to, if we agree, suggest that KPFK subscribe to the Nielsen's, and put that in the next budget. I think we're flying blind. I would like to give you a little bit of information. We can subscribe to the Nielsen's from the Radio Research Consortium. In other words, we don't subscribe directly to Nielsen. There's another group that deals with nonprofit radio stations, and we can get the Nielsen's at a reduced rate. Now, I have to tell you that I called them about a year ago, and Pacifica owes them about $30,000 to $40,000. So we have
what? Excuse me, who do we owe?
The Radio Research Consortium. This is from years ago.
No idea.
No Pacifica station has subscribed to Nielsen's for at least 4 or 5 years. And folks, our listenership has been degenerating. I mean, you know, we gotta know. It's like driving a car with blinders on.
Blind.
So I think if we can make some sort of arrangement with the Radio Research Consortium to pay off a little bit of the debt and to subscribe, $20,000 is not an outrageous amount in our budget. I think it would help us a lot.
Why would knowing the Nielsen help us in our particular predicament?
Okay, because we would know, we would know exactly what shows have high listenership. When we had the Nielsen's before, when we subscribed before, the things that we learned was this. The listenership is not even with slight variations across the grid. It's like this. One show will have like 15,000 listeners an hour, and the next show 200 an hour. It's very variable. We need to know this. And folks, we need to move the shows with really poor listenership off the strategic daytime hours. They can stay on the air, especially if they really have a niche a public or are really in conformity with the Pacifica mission, but they shouldn't be in the strategic hours of 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. They could be moved to somewhere else on the grid. And we need to put stronger, more appealing programming in our drive time. And we need to know which we don't know. For instance, I'll give you an example. Years ago, what was our top show? Recently, somebody gave us some news. Guess what our top show is? You won't guess. What our top show is the car show.
Right. Really?
Yes. Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah.
Years ago, and one of our top shows, also supposedly, Ian Masters has high listenership.
On Sunday.
on Sunday. But he has also hired in the daytime hours.
He's still
but
Sunday's so huge.
She did very well. Yeah. So
he's been there for 40 years.
In New York, for instance, the top-rated show on Sunday evening when nobody listens to the radio on Sunday evening was old-timey radio. And we have no concept of what the public really, really, really likes. We're thinking for them. We shouldn't be doing that. We should be asking them. We should be listening, not forcing our ideology and our pet thoughts and pet interests on them. We need to service the public, not, you know, propagandize or decide what they need to know. That's silly. We need to conform to the Pacifica mission. But that's what we need to do. So anyway, I think we should have a motion to decide that.
I would offer that motion.
Okay.
Sure.
The motion.
Add a line item for the Nielsens into the budget.
Well,
what's the cost?
I would
have to pay the old bill.
Yeah, I would suggest
we develop it.
That could we send this motion to the Finance Committee to also address the back payment to the radio consortium, so that
I think that we should make some sort of a motion that the LSB suggests that we subscribe to the Nielsens as soon as possible, as long as the annual cost is no more than $35,000.
So
let's say that. I think that that's reasonable, and it would really help us to improve the program.
Do you want to make that motion now? Do you want us to vote on that motion now?
Yeah, I'll make the motion right now.
Okay, can you type that up and send it to Michael? Is there anyone opposed to that motion?
I just want to suggest that along that motion that we select the 5 most popular shows in radio in L.A. and dissect them, study them, understand how they put together so we can emulate them. It's probably cheaper than $20,000 from the Nielsen.
Okay, so is that an opposition to getting the Nielsen ratings?
It could be cheaper for us.
Okay, so are you opposed to this motion that Grace and Labs has put forth? I'm sorry?
I'm offering an alternative to that motion.
Okay, so
I'm going to
suggest that this motion go back to the Finance Committee to be worked out and brought forward to have a formal written motion.
Next month?
Next month, yes.
Okay.
Well, then I would like to offer a motion that we give serious consideration to the idea of soliciting or becoming part of the Nielsen operation in some way.
Yeah, just could be through the radio.
Yeah, just what I just said. That we give serious consideration to it.
And I look upon that motion favorably, and I would just like to have it vetted out within in the Finance Committee before being put forth to the body. Jan, you had a comment?
I don't think that Fernando's suggestion is necessarily an either-or situation. I think they're not mutually exclusive.
Right.
I think that analyzing what is popular is a good concept. Getting the Nielsens is a good concept. And I would like to second the motion that we could pass right now to consider seriously how we can access Nielsen information that for the LSB and for KPFK. I'll say the motion.
It's already went from simple to convoluted for me.
I want to clarify, since I'm the author of the motion. Can you read back how the motion stands right now, what the language of the motion is?
Nobody has.
Okay. I would like to offer a motion that this board seriously consider the budgetary implications of us getting information from Nielsen,
subscribing
to Nielsen, to better reflect
our listenership.
Better understand.
Or better understand our listenership. That's the motion.
Can you read it back, please?
Okay, excuse the court reporter here. And Grace, did you get the internet here, Michael?
I can.
Okay, that the LSV seriously consider the budgetary implications of subscribing to Nielsen ratings to better understand our listenership.
I'll offer that motion.
Okay, enough?
Second.
Discussion?
Okay. Is there anyone opposed to that motion?
B.
Okay,
this is going to pose the same situation. The idea is, this is a more diverse segment of the population, granted, but we have to pay for this. What we can do in-house, we can do a volunteer hour with people, and it will cost us nothing. The idea is to appeal to that segment of the population that is giving us money. Just flat out. These are the people that buy. These are the 15,000 people that stop buying. And then we would also want to probably at some point survey the 15,000 people that are currently subscribing to us. So we could do this for free. It will cost us nothing. It targets the demographic we want to appeal to. It will tell us what programming to give them at what time of day. We need to develop more premiums, better premiums, that will appeal to their money when we caught their ears. This just boils down to cash flow. This will bring cash in.
Why can't we give up?
Okay.
Well, there's no reason not. That's an additional expense I don't think really translates to our bottom line. This will, because we're appealing to this demographic.
Okay. I've got one against. Who would like to speak? Okay. I'll take two against and two for. I've already heard one against. You would like to speak against? Jan, would you like to speak for?
Yes. Can we alternate?
Yes.
I think that we should do both. We should find out why listeners are listening to our listeners, our subscribers, our former subscribers, what they're interested in and what they want. But I also think that having an overall view of how many people, just gross numbers of how many people are listening, whether they're subscribers or not, is important. I do have a question as to whether or not the Nielsens are really reflecting what people are actually listening to. What, and I say which people, you know, are the Nielsens picking up all the Spanish speakers? Are they picking up people in poor neighborhoods? Are they picking up people, you know, where are they picking people up?
They're not.
And that's an important question.
They do.
Of
course they do.
So my point here is that as part of this consideration, pursuant to this motion, we look into those questions as to who Nielsens are really picking up. Assuming they're picking up, whoever they're picking up, at least we can see how many people or what the estimates are of people that are listening. So I think that is really important for us to know, and for our program director to know, for our general manager, our staff, and everybody else. And I think that we should do the analysis that Fernando suggested. I think that's an important analysis. And I think that we should continue to do the surveys. I don't think that these are mutually exclusive. And we should also be listening. We should also be looking at, by the way, how many people are listening to podcasts of our show, so we know, you know, maybe, you know, there's a, you know, like I don't listen to a 7 o'clock Monday morning program at 7 o'clock on Monday morning, but I may pick it up some other point in time.
Okay, so we need one more opposed, and then we will take one for. Lawrence, please, go ahead.
I didn't get the gist of the whole motion, but I'm not in favor of spending money where we don't have it right now. And I was struggling to get it. So the Nielsen ratings, I don't think, reflect our listenership. It's good for television ratings, but I don't think it will serve us well to spend money on the Nielsen project like that. When we could use the Bullet Pulpit, which is our radio station, to solicit volunteers to do exactly what the Nielsen ratings could do.
Okay, Holly, you wanted to speak for us?
I just want to ask if we're keeping time. It seems that we've kind of gone to a free form.
Yeah, well, as I
mentioned, we have
okay, excuse me. Let me try to answer Ali's question.
Why not?
First of all, this item isn't on the agenda, okay? And the motion was made and seconded. I'm trying to get through it. Now, the agenda, now we're like way ahead of our time on the agenda. So we do have the time to play with, which was why I'm entertaining this motion. I would have preferred to have sent it back to finance to have the motion vetted out and presented without having a lot of discussion, but we do have the time on our agenda for it, which is why we're moving forward on it. I have one more for. Are you for it, Fernando?
No, I just want to alert everyone before the news on when the news were serving television movement and Arbitron was on the audio. At one point, Arbitron was taken to court a couple of times because they were excluding people with cell phones and poor people, and they didn't have a good argument in court. So we give all these thousands of dollars to the news, and now the Arbitron and Nielsen came at one family. We need to check on that. Where, when they went to court about being including all people in the audience, where the Nielsen fell short.
Okay. Grace, you want to speak for it?
Yes. Unless somebody else wants to.
Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, the whole concept that the Nielsens do not track minority listenership has been debunked over and over again. That was a problem many years ago, around 10 years ago. It is no longer a problem. You can see that very clearly in the fact that Nielsen is showing that three, at least, or four of the top in the top 10 radio stations listenership-wise are Spanish language shows. That proves that they are tracking Spanish language listeners. That's the first thing. Second of all, even if the Nielsens are somewhat faulty, it's better to have a foggy windshield than a black windshield where you can't see anything. We have no real metrics. Now, there's no market research is different from measuring listenership. Market research are surveys and that kind of thing. They're very valid. They have a different, they're different information that you gather from surveys. The Nielsen show us in more fine-tuning. When you call a survey person, they're going to tell you what they like and what they really hate. They're not going to tell you what they don't listen to because it's mediocre. So there's only a certain amount of information you get from surveys, and but there's more information of certain type that's gotten from Nielsen's. I think surveys should be done. I think that the Nielsen's are to subscribe. It's not so expensive. We really need to use every tool we have to increase our listenership, because if we don't increase our listenership, we're going to be gone.
How will surveys increase our listenership?
Okay, let's not have cross talk. Now, Grace,
yeah.
Can you read the motion, and then I'm going to ask our secretary to go to a vote on the most motion. So this is the motion we're going to be voting on.
Okay. That the LSB seriously consider the budgetary implications of subscribing.
Hang on, are you going to send it to me?
I can send it to you.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Let me read it first. That the LSB seriously consider the budgetary implications of subscribing to Nielsen ratings to better understand our listenership. And that will be taken up by the Finance Committee.
Okay, so that's it. So let's take a vote on the motion.
By what committee?
Finance.
Are we a roll vote?
It doesn't say that in the
It doesn't need to be a roll vote.
Please not.
Okay. All those in favor of looking at the budgetary considerations of subscribing to the Nielsen rating, please raise your hands.
count one more time.
Is this the vote?
This is pro. Yes. Yes, Nielsen. Okay, I'm going to do it one more time. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. All opposed?
Our budget is about $2.1 million.
One, two, three, four, five.
Behind you.
One more time. One, two, three, four, five. Okay. Abstain. Okay, so the measure passes 12 to 5.
Okay, thank you very much. Next on the agenda is closing business.
I'm sorry to can I make an announcement? Sorry. Janet Coburn announced at yesterday's KPFA LSB meeting that Sharon Brown, Ifeo Wangaza, and Adriana Casanave have filed a suit against Dave Beaton, Mansour Sabak, and Pacifica. Obviously, Sharon from being removed from the national board, Ifeo from being removed from the national board, and Adriana Casanave for I Have No. She's a director from KPFT in Houston. I don't know what. This is the first we're hearing about it. It was announced by a local station board member at KPFA in Berkeley yesterday at their LSB meeting. I just wanted to let you all know that. I sent it to you in an email.
Those are the only two.
Pacifica, Mansour Sabah, and who else?
It's Sharon Brown, Ifeo Wangaza, and Adriana Casanave have filed a suit against Dave Beaton, Mansour Sabah, and Pacifica. He is the affiliate director who replaced Ifeo Wangaza.
Maggie?
Yeah, I just wanted to, on the topic of Nielsen or Arbitrons or whatever we're going to use, I was looking at something the other day and I found it. You know, all the, of course, the big K-Rock and the Coast and all these stations, you know, carry the huge, numbers as far as listenerships. But the top-rated public station is KPCC out of Pasadena City College, which came in 24th place with a 1.7 share. KCRW is right behind it at 1.6. KPCC has 35 watts. We have 112,000 watts.
Wow.
So the difference is, I won't go on, but it's 125,000 watts that very, very few people are listening to.
And that defeats the argument that size matters.
Well, size matters.
KPCC wants to swap signals with us. I know that. Because then they could make $1 million in 4 days instead of 7.
Okay, thank you. Under closing business, we're going to discuss the next meeting location. I would like to thank the public for their cooperation here today. One of the reasons we changed locations is because we were not able to conduct our local station board meetings for the past 2 months because of disruptions from the public. I understand that the Peace Center is a very convenient location for many people, but unfortunately at the Peace Center we were unable to conduct business the past 2 months. Again, which is why we are meeting here today. I would hope, and we're going to discuss our meeting location next, that's next on the agenda. I like the Peace Center. They set up for us. They provide
kitchen.
PA system.
They provide a PA system for us that makes it very easy for us to record and post online. They've always been very hospitable to us. I would just hope that if we return to the Peace Center, that the public continue to be as well received as you all are here today. I really appreciate that, and I wanted to thank you for your cooperation, because that cooperation was lacking the last 2 months and prevented us from conducting our important business that we needed to conduct. Thank you.